Hi, this is Patricia Cleveland and Easologic Radio. Take a deep breath in, relax, just let it all go. That little mind game, that voice, the thing that says, hey, hurry up, you've got 10 things to do right now. What are you doing listening to this radio? Take a breath and let it go. It's okay. Life will always compensate. It was always there to create balance. You know, sometimes you're rushing to get to a meeting. You're late. Oh, I got to push. I got to rush. I got to get the speeding ticket. Got to push the red light. Have you ever just stopped and said, who cares? Who cares? The more I rush, the slower I go. The more I rush, the more complicated life becomes. Rushing doesn't really work. Pushing doesn't really work. If you're late, take a breath and give yourself permission to say, it's okay. It's okay. I can only do my best. My best to get there safe and sound and in balance with who I am. I don't need to make the point of being perfect. It would be great if I was on time. It would be great if everything lined up in the day. It would be great if everything that was said, the rules, the facts, the agendas, it would be great if they all lined up to make a truth. But in the reality of everyday life, you have to really wonder what is the truth. The truth of rushing to make a point, to be on time, or to be a little late, but get there and say, hey, I've got my mind, I'm not rattled, I can conduct this meeting, I can meet with these people, and I can connect because I'm grounded within who I am. I'm not shaking, I'm not tight, my muscles aren't holding me. I can take a breath, and I can fill my lungs up with air, and I can sigh, and I can allow both sides of my mind, my brain, to merge. And when that can happen, I can react thoroughly, accurately, and I can represent a broader perspective when I make my comments. But if I run to that meeting and I'm late and I'm rushing and I'm trying to impress by trying to make myself there right at the right moment, regardless, well, I run into, gotta hold myself together. I'm rattled. I'm tight. I'm not listening to my instinctive side. I may not be able to present the professional conversation I really wanted to. And by being tight and stiff, stressed, might actually connect the people I'm trying to impress. I think that happens an awful lot. See, I just try to avoid stress as much as possible. But when I do go into stressful moments, when I don't trust myself, I find that things don't quite go the way I planned. I don't hear the comments. I can't process the knowledge. I don't know how to interact because I am no longer in touch with myself. I've shifted everything over to my left brain, who's saying, oh, well, like 10 days ago, this is how it worked. So maybe if you run the program from 10 days ago, it'll work today. But it doesn't, because we aren't in the same place. We aren't in the same space and time. We aren't running through the same wave of energy, the frequencies that give us the information on how to run our day. Truth, stress, facts. You sit back and you just wonder. Wonder at the impact of having to be in control, to control your stress, to create an environment that says you're right, I'm right, and you're wrong, or my facts are stronger than your facts. What does that actually do? When I train an animal, I train completely different than the other person. And they come in and they say, how can you train a horse like that? And I said, well, maybe we need to change the words. Because you see, for me, words are like an incantation, a magic spell. Words hold a shape, a form. They create a little realm, a definition. And when you use a word, that definition locks in a certain form of energy. I don't train a horse to do anything. I don't train a dog to do anything. Because when I'm training them, I'm creating stress. Have you ever taken a lesson? I don't know. A language lesson? Ballet lesson? Writing lesson? Have you ever had a lesson on how to build something? And you have the instructor and he's standing there. And he's saying, oh, do this or do that. And you think about it. And when you think about it, then you stop. You stop what you're doing, or the accuracy of what you're doing becomes less because you stop. You stop in that moment for that split second to take in the information of that person's voice, to process the emotion and the intent in that voice, and then you re-engage and you try to do what you were asked to do. In that split second, you disengage from the natural flow, the energy, the thing that is who you are, that actually is saying, hey, this is really cool. You know, I could just do this and it's going to come out the way I want it. The trust in the self. And when you start thinking, you start making mistakes because you disconnect the honesty of the self. And when you go to the meeting all stressed, disconnected the honesty of the self. And if I was teaching a horse how to interact, to be honest with himself and what he physically can do, and how he can help me maybe enjoy life by going out for a ride, or how he can help me make enough money to pay for his feed bill by maybe going out and going into the show ring and doing the best he can. I don't use my voice. There is no voice in my barn. There is no music in my barn. There's just stillness. And the horse comes in, and I will touch him. I will stand still and give him permission to touch me. And it's like the two sides of the same person start talking. The part of me, the energy particles, the information, the wave that goes between my physical form and the physical form of that horse creates a line of communication that most people don't have the time to stop and understand because we're so much in that, I've got to control, I've got to be physically involved, and if I don't sound and appear to look like I'm doing something, well, nothing will happen. And yet if we change the perspective and say, hey, we stand in silence and we open up who we are and we allow the perception of the information that may come from the left brain, but instead of throwing it as a judgment or a fact, if we let it merge with the emotional purity of who we are, and that's kind of a tricky thing, because you may have to reprogram yourself. You may have to sit down in a chair and do a meditation or be in touch just for, oh, maybe 5 minutes and say, I want to be able to acknowledge the left side of who I am, the left side of my brain, the fact gatherer, the juggernaut of all that's physical. And I would like it to run its information down and underneath the thing that holds that left brain in my head. And let that information go into this wonderful pool of sparks, networks, and wires. And when it's there, the same kind of thought, the action, the feeling, the interpretation of the non-physical from the right brain can fall down and go into this beautiful place, the merging point, the corpus callosum, the pillow under the mind, the brain, the cushion, the structure that holds it up. And here, the two sides of the mind have the opportunity to say, hey, we see each other. We're not operating as independent, we're operating as a whole. And I can get the information that I need from my left brain to help me process the information and action that I am interpreting from my right brain. And when I can do that, I can move energy on multiple levels. And so you can program yourself to do that. You can give yourself permission to tune in to both sides of who you are instead of using one side and then the other, shutting off the voice in your head so that you can feel who you are. You can merge the voice in your head to say, hey, I don't need all that information right now, but I would like you to feel this. You can't feel it? Okay. Can you process this? And can you help me manifest it as an intent into something that's real? And if you can program yourself to do that, you will find that you won't run into as much stress. Because when you go into those moments of, I have to tell this person something that they really don't want to hear, you can pull down and merge the fact that you have to express something that's uncomfortable, maybe judgmental, because the system needs you to say it. But you can also merge it with the purity and the honesty of the information, the emotion, the imagination that is shared between you and the person you're addressing. And instead of hitting them with the fact, here's the fact, Jack, here's the honest truth, you can say from a heart-to-heart position, hey, you know, this situation that came up, well, you know, there's some dynamics involved, and I know it may be uncomfortable to address it, but I think that there's some value here that we could share, that we could grow from. And if we could do this, maybe we could improve the whole situation. And when you do that, you remove that combative conversation between left brain and left brain. And you bring a balance because the right brain of who you are and the right brain of the person that you're addressing or the animal can start to say, hey, we can come out into the physical and we can have an amazing influence. Maybe in a split moment, we can have a spark that would represent a state of physical grace, a moment of individual connection. And even if it's a millisecond, that millisecond ripples and ricochets through a whole system and expands. We're going to take a break here, and I hope that's given you some thought. This is Patricia Cleveland and ESA Logic Radio, and we'll be back in a minute. We're back. No written word, no spoken plea can teach our youth what they should be, and nor all the books on all the shelves are what the teachers are themselves. In other words, life teaches us, nature teaches us. And information is found in books, and experience may be found in books. But all the writing in the world does not define who we are. Not all the information in the university defines who you are. The honesty of the experience, the truth, the fact that your life experience may be totally different from somebody else does not make it wrong, doesn't make it right. It just is. And so when you have a perception of working with voice, with authority, with ego, with the concept that energy equals money, okay, you lock yourself into a physical dynamics of control, of judgment, being better. And all that stuff is driven by stress, and all that stress is fear-based. And when you have fear, you are, again, physically locked in a body that cannot run its own energy, its personal connection. And when I teach somebody how to ride a horse, I don't stand out there and say, like the drill sergeant, oh, you must do this and you must do that, and give them a couple of minutes, and then I come at them again verbally, because that's not teaching. That's programming. Okay, you see, I'm letting them have the experience, and then I'm taking it away because I'm telling them now to do something else. And without understanding that their physical form is controlling how the energy flow through the body is shaped and creates movement, without understanding that the person on the horse can only balance his body in a certain form, a certain shape, it doesn't matter what I say, because the instinct of the body is going to go right back to the natural flow of who it is. So as a riding instructor, I'm going to stand out there and I'm going to give all these instructions. And all I'm going to do is create stress. Stress in the rider's body. Or when I'm working with a horse, if I was a normal trainer, I would say, okay, now you need to do this. You need to listen. You need to follow my control. And when the horse's body says, but my body, my neck won't turn to the right because I'm locked. My birth shape is wrong. I'm crooked. That creates pain. And when you create pain in the physical, you create fear. You create anxiety. And if that pain is great enough, the animal is going to say, I revolt. I cannot be in your presence. You are the most insensitive living species I have ever encountered. Because you don't listen. All you do is control and throw stress, and without understanding feeling, without seeing past your stress, you're hurting me. And so I have two options. Well, actually three. I can continue allowing you to hurt me and have physical pain the rest of my life. Or I could tell you that I'm painful, and maybe you'll listen. And if you don't listen, I'll keep telling you I'm painful, and if it gets bad enough, buddy, I'm going to hurt you back. Or if I'm really lucky, I will make the suggestion that I can't do this. And if you're an honest person, you will stop. And you might not understand what I'm trying to say to you, but you'll stop. And maybe you'll touch my body. And you watch where I flinch. And maybe If you've had enough experiences in the school of controlled, structured, factual information based on non-energetic science, maybe you'll turn your back and find somebody who works in energy, who can see me as an energetic being, just like who you are. When you work with an animal, don't assume that they don't have feelings, that they don't have emotional states, that they lack personality, that they do not have intellect, that they cannot reason, that they are not self-aware. Because, you see, they are all of those things. They're everything that we are. The difference is that their level of functioning in the physical world does not have room to process that information in the physical form. But that information is still around their body. And when you can merge the right and the left side of your brain, you can start to see these patterns form. It's not just I can feel the horse, but I can actually feel and I can sense his thoughts on an intellectual level. It is there. That information of who that horse is all around him. It's in his body. But he can't project it the way you and I can. And so he puts up with the stress of going to work. He puts up with the stress of not being able to express who he is. And he puts up with this stress that blocks the honesty of his conversation. And a lot of people that own animals, well, they look at it and they go, I know there's something wrong. My gut instinct says, I'm rushing, I've got to go do something, but I just know there's something wrong with that animal. And I don't know what to do. And sometimes we turn our back and we trust somebody else. And that's not a bad thing. But you need to follow your instincts. And not so much what you read on the internet as fact, or in the medical journal as fact, or what the fact was when you were in university or in high school. Because you see, that's a bit of a mind trap. Not everything that was invented 20 years ago is factually correct today. Because the energy fields that we move through, the information waves that are pulsating, and the Earth, the solar system is moving through, are much more advanced. We've already advanced in our technology. And what I'm hoping is we will advance in our energetic awareness of self. And maybe we can advance and pull our awareness up to the level of awareness of the animals. You see, they're very aware. They have this energetic early warning system. They process information far faster, much faster than we do. That's why their instincts are so fast and we're so slow. Because they process information like a really fast computer, except it doesn't have to be plugged into the wall. And they don't live in a natural state of stress. They live in a natural state of in the moment, at this point, right now. And so if you go to work and you have all this stress around you, you let go of it and you just deal with right now. What is the thought that just moved through you? What is the piece of information that just popped up on your desk? That right now, that's a clue. That is something that you are to use. Don't overthink it. Just go, okay, where does this lead? And if you're an honest, trusting, inside person, and you say, okay, if I go down this path, I may create a lot of waves around all these stressed out people, but the bottom line is this is my truth. And if I act on it, I'll expand my experience. And that experience might change my whole world. It might change my job. But then I might be in a place that suits me better and allows me to expand and to use all of who I am instead of just my left brain and how I pull facts together off the computer or out of the book. Stress controls how we form the physical world. And stress controls how we interact with the physical body. And there's different ways of using stress. And there's different effects of stress. And it all funnels down into how we want to use our intent. Can we use our intent, our imagination, to reshape that stress and make it into a usable tool that doesn't wound or create havoc or is thrown off onto somebody else or onto our animals? Is there a tool there when we use both sides of our brain as one and amplifying the benefit of both to create a better state of thinking and interaction? I'm going to let you take a breath. I'm going to let you think about that. And we're going to be back in a few minutes. This is Patricia Cleveland and EsoLogic Radio. And if you like what you hear, you can get in touch with me at esologicradio@gmail.com. Talk to you soon. Take a breath. Close your eyes. What color comes up? Is it red? Is it green? Turquoise blue? Sandalwood? Pink? Orange? Brown? What are the colors that are in your life? Whatever comes to mind, take it and pull it into your thoughts. Make it fill up your thoughts with whatever color. For that moment, that's who you are. That's the information that validates this moment, that state in your life. And sometimes when you go to work, you get dressed up in certain colors. Or when I see people out riding horses, they have a special color of blanket or special color on the nose band and brow band of the bridle of the horse. Or when you walk your dog, what color is the collar? What color is the leash? Do you put clothes on your dog? And how does that look and make you feel? All of these things interact from the energy side to the emotional side and into the physical being. And what is and what isn't right? Well, I don't know. I talked to some very amazing people. They're so gifted in how smart they are. The fact that they've gone to school, that they hold a PhD, that they may have multiple PhDs. And when they stop and they think about what happens out on a farm, it makes them go, whoa, that's pretty threatening stuff. And you see, coming from being on a farm and being a healer, I don't really understand that concept, that threat of, oh, they're doing something that, hey, it's discussed in that scientific journal from like 3 years ago. Well, who cares? The fact is that everything that we do already exists. And if it doesn't exist at this moment right now, It either exists in the moment, like, oh, 10 years from now, or has already existed. But wherever it is, we have the ability to not dwell so much in this control stress dynamics of the physical body and physical knowledge and information that's printed in books and on computers. We actually are living, walking libraries. And if you can move past the stress and you can give yourself permission to use both sides of your mind, and instead of being told from the system outside what is right or what is wrong, if you listen to the direction of your body, that instinct, that little voice that goes, ahem, what your left side of your brain is telling you right now may be quoted as a statistical fact, but it's wrong. And if you listen to that voice, it will give you clues. You start following it, and reality starts bringing in information and resources. And if you use those things, you can change the outcome. And if you're working in that type of environment, you can then take your imagination. What is it that you want to have happen? Not what's supposed to happen according to what you learned in school. Or not what's supposed to happen because you saw it on TV. But what is it that you want to have happen? Do you want to have a better result to fit the thing that is your living world, your reality? Well, then, use who you are. Because, you see, we're very, very conformed into a matrix or a model that says that if it's not scientifically validated, if it didn't come from the doctor, if it's not published in some peer-reviewed journal, then how dare we actually honor and trust ourselves? Because we're wrong. We're always wrong. The peer review is always right. And believing in that has formed the dynamics of all the things that we are experiencing in our world right now. Somebody else is right. Somebody else knows more than I do. Somebody else is more qualified than I am. And we fail to understand that that person who's qualified may have the information that fits their level of thinking, their level of working in a stressful environment, an artificial paradigm. Because when they're in those environments, they're disconnecting from the self. And they're running an artificial energy system. And it's based on ego. Sometimes. It's based on non-energetic qualities of human thought. So what are you investing in that for? But it's in the magazine. I read it in the magazine. Okay. If you come from the world of facts, well, here's some facts. That, of all the peer review articles published in the last, I'd say 15 years, 16 years, that 43% of those articles have been retracted. And they've been forced out or retracted from these journals because the findings have been found to be incorrect, purposely doctored, fraudulent, wrong. And it's a pretty scary thing because we go on the internet and we do our research Or we trust in the scientist to be right. But if they aren't involving all of the elements of nature or all the influences of the universe, how can they be right? How can they be right? Their results are going to be skewed because they're not taking into consideration the conscious act of the human mind. The human ability to change energy from particles or into particles from waveform. Our ability to manifest a result. And for those reasons, without considering it, well, science can be wrong. You see, I deal with a lot of things that are not energetic, and they challenge who I am and what I do. And it's okay. I used to be really, really afraid of it, and I used to engage it and say, no, that's all wrong. You're wrong. I'm right. And I can remember a moment in my life where I had an official tell me that I knew I was doing something wrong and that I was wrong for doing it. And in that moment, because I had invested in being in conflict, I don't know how to express it other than to say it felt like an energetic rape. It devalued, it disassembled, it shattered that energetic security in who I am. How dare I do something physically not allowed? How dare I be in the judgment position and think that I'm right? And that goes on a lot. That shattering is stripping of energy. And when that happens, I think that's where the left brain says, hey, okay, you got to conform now. You've got to believe in everything that you're taught in school. You cannot believe in the anecdotal experience that you just had in life. You can't believe that your cat just curled up on the couch and said, hey, I love you. And that feeling hit your heart. No, you can't say that that actually happened. But why can't you say that? And why don't more people actually stand up and say, hey, I had this experience? Because it's in that moment of who you are, in the definition of the relationship between you and your environment and your animal, that actually happened. That was that moment of truth. That spark, that hesitation, that moment of grace, that stillness shared between two living organisms. Yes, that's truth. And there's new science out there. There's new ways of thinking. There's a book out. I'm sorry, I don't know the name of it. But if you go on the internet and look up Dr. Rupert Sheldrake, he's written a book about all the dogmatic ideas that we have about science and how we're taught to believe that all these unjustified statements are a belief system. And that belief system is actually impairing our ability to use all of the resources of the quantum mechanic world, the world of spirit and being, the higher consciousness. In other words, science is becoming like a church, a belief system, with its 10 commandments. And these commandments don't fit the reality that we've moved into. But yet we're asked to believe in them, and we're asked to function using empirical evidence. But the actual foundations of the science is not based in fact, it's based in belief. So that's a bit of a mind trap And it has trapped a lot of people. So take the time and look up Dr. Rupert Sheldrake. You can also find him. I believe he's a guest speaker at Thunderbolts Project. So take a look. I'm going to take a break, and I will be back in a minute. This is Eastologic Radio and your host, Patricia Cleveland. If you like what you hear, reach out. Let me know. You can find me at eastologicradio@gmail.com. Oh, the world of stress. It impacts us. It impacts our animals. Rush, 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 rush. Division, polarized thoughts, stress, hate crimes, abuse, war. Is that what we're really all about? I don't think so. So take a moment, create a little envelope of peace for yourself. Invite your animal in. See, they're there to help us heal. They're there to help us be whole. Because you see, they're not whole without us, and we're not whole without them. The stress of being right, who cares? The stress of having knowledge. Well, knowledge is not necessarily truth. Truth is wisdom. Truth is the moment of experience. And if that experience doesn't fit, well, then it's called anecdotal. Science can't validate it, therefore it doesn't exist. So you had an anecdotal experience. And if science is empirical, then you have an anecdotal experience. And your friend has an anecdotal experience. And more and more and more people have anecdotal experiences. And we talk about them. Then guess what? We have something to empirically measure. And we have the ability to say back to empirical science that, hey, if 100,000 people had parallel or similar anecdotal experiences, would this not suggest that there is some truth to the matter? And whether you can scientifically explain it or not, why don't we just go on? Why don't we have the adventure about our inner self and how our inner self actually interacts to make change? If you would just look at anecdotal experiences alone, you would find that there would be growth. There would be new understanding. You see, we could actually expand what we know right now and bring it into a different use instead of polarized, dualistic, fear, stress, awful, pain. The physical form doesn't need that. The physical form wants to do the best it can. The physical form wants to create the experience. So life isn't about how much money you made, or whether you were right, or whether you were wrong. Life is about how you interact. Life is, oh, yeah, man, I'm really late for that meeting. So you pick up the phone and you say, hey, guess what? I'm going to be late, but I am on my way. So if you want to start without me, that's fine. I'll pick it up where I step in. But right now, I'm doing the best I can. The best I can with what I have to work with. And if I can't change the situation, if I can't make that red light change any faster to make sure that when I go through the intersection, I'm not impacting somebody else's life. If I can't change the fact that there's a traffic jam on the freeway, well then, that's the way it is. I can only accept life at that moment. I can take that moment and I can apply my intent. I can take a situation with my animal and say, geez, I saw that coming. I didn't take action to prevent it. So now I have an animal that's injured. And I had a choice to do something about it. And I chose not to. I didn't do the best I can do. And now I have to take on the responsibility of looking after that animal to the best of my ability. Because you see, I'm responsible for the action that caused the pain. Take a moment and honor who you are, wherever you are, and think about the I am of who we all are. And connect your I am to my I am and all the I ams who are friend or the ones you don't even know. And expand and fill up with love. And hold a thought of eternal knowledge, infinite wisdom. And then, what is your intent for the day? Be at peace. If you have animals in your life, hey, try some of the things I suggest about thinking about using both sides of your mind. And then move into your animal's field and see how it goes. Reach out and don't touch the physical form. Pat the energy body of your cat or touch the energy body of your dog and see what comes back to you. And if you have a pattern forming, don't be afraid. Don't back up. Don't stress out. Because for you in that moment, that's your truth. And if you work in a world of facts and figures, well, follow what your gut says. Those numbers, some of them may be right and some of them may be wrong. But your instinct, the honesty of who you are, the information body, the energy that flows through the universe, the thing that gives you the ultimate perfection, the permission to say, I love who I am. That is the voice that we should be bringing into the physical world to make everything better. So if you enjoyed it, great. Come back, listen again. This is Isologic Radio, and you can find me at isologicradio@gmail.com, and my name is Patricia Cleveland. Any questions? I'll try to find answers. Until next time, guys, just hug yourself and say, I feel good today. Bye for now.